Genesis chapter 1. I cannot believe I'm even saying that. I sat down there watching this slide, and when it said Genesis chapter 1, 27 through 31, it just kind of hit me. That is not a typical passage for Easter, is it? In fact, I might get called into the pastor review board this week. I was thinking that, and they may try to pull my pastor card because I didn't use one of the three or four typical passages that you're supposed to use for Easter. Well, I feel a little bit like a renegade, but this is a passage that is going to be really groundwork for us to understand a principle of God, what we might call an attribute of God, a big word that just basically means a characteristic of God. God has a lot of character traits, if you want to think of it that way. He is not just what we're going to talk about today, good, and we'll define that for you, but he also is all-knowing, all-powerful, he's all-present. He is love. He defines love for us. All of those are part of a long list of the character of God. And in our understanding and study of God, we use Scripture then to understand those things in relation to the way we live today. And because God is of these character traits, then we have confidence that He is more than just someone who created us in His image. He's just more than some reference to something that took place some 4,000, maybe 2,000 years ago. He is a literal present God who makes up all of these things we describe Him with. And so today when we look at this one, we go all the way back to the creation account. Now there's intentionality here. Because when we go back to the original, what I believe to be 6 days of creation, we find God pretty much after each of the days, with exception, I think, of maybe day two. That's homework this week if you want to go look at maybe why he doesn't use the term good. But otherwise, pretty much after every day in his creation work, he says it is good. Now, this is what we want to think about today. God's intention was He created this world to be good. Now, what do we mean by this idea of good in reference to being an attribute of God? God's goodness is simply defined this way. There is no fault. There's no evil. There's no deception anywhere in His character. And He defines right and wrong. And He will always do what is right and wrong. We choose to define that as His goodness. Now, when He created you, as we'll describe today in our passage, He created you and then He called you very good. It's the only place in the creation account that we can discover that He puts a word in front of good. His intention was for us not just to be good in His image, but to be very good. Now, we're not going to get there today, but in a few short passages later, we find we mess that up. And we stop being the pursuit of good through a good God, and we choose to sin. And so because of that sin, God's goodness never stopped, even though we looked away from Him and chose to follow something else, His goodness still stood because its very nature makes up who He is. He began the process of delivering what we celebrate today, and that's the resurrection. God's goodness is what brought Jesus to this world. God's goodness is what promised a Savior. God's goodness is what from the very beginning of the Old Testament in Genesis, but then we move through the nation of Israel and all of the sacrifices that make up the Old Testament faith, and then the promise of a Messiah, and then He is born into this world as just a normal person, it appears. But He lives an extraordinary, sinless life, and then His life He gives up. And He dies. That's what we're celebrating right now. His death, but that's not the end of it, right? He resurrects. He is risen. That's what we say today. And what I want us to understand is, through an unusual way, but to understand that we can see God's goodness in all of that. And despite where you may find yourself this morning, I'm going to tell you, we don't live in a very good world, do we? People often are not very good. In fact, most people are pretty bad, it seems, at least by that definition that we've used to describe God. You and I fall short of that ourselves, no matter how hard we may try. But listen, God has provided a mechanism for us to experience His goodness through what He did on the cross and what He did that Sunday morning in raising Jesus from the dead. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You this morning. I pray that You would really just open our hearts and not get focused on the unusual nature of this passage this morning and it connecting to what we celebrate as Easter. But what we find here is a story about You, Father. And the character that surrounds You but also makes up who You are. And in an attempt from our standpoint to understand You a little bit better, we've assigned these character traits to You. And one of them today we celebrate is Your goodness. God, I pray for every believer, whether they be in this auditorium or whether they're listening to this or watching this live right now in our live stream, my prayer for every believer is for us to understand that You've never stopped being who You were in the very beginning and You're never going to end being who You are. We worship a mighty God who is sovereign and on His throne. And no matter how bad things are in this world, no matter how many bad choices we may make in our lives, it remains that You're good. And You've provided a mechanism through salvation for us to always be able to go back to that base, that foundation, and find that forgiveness. We know it's there because of Your goodness. And we know that Your love is never separated from us as believers because of Your goodness. And we have hope in the fact that You're sending Jesus back. He is coming. And we know that because of Your goodness. Now, God, I pray for that lost person. I don't know how they see this term goodness. But my prayer this morning is that You would help them to peel away whatever obstacles or spiritual callousness that they may have developed to be able to be resistant to the truth of God so that they can sit in services like this and just not get captivated or convicted by their life or their lack of understanding who really Jesus is. And my prayer this morning, Father, is that You would just wash all away those obstacles in their lives and help them come face to face with the truth, the reality that we have no other way to explain what happens on the cross and the resurrection some 3 days later, but yet through the goodness of who You are. Now, God, bless us as we read Your word together. Bless us for a few minutes as we walk through this passage and glean from it some truths that help us to understand the goodness in the resurrection. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to start reading in verse 27. And now we're beginning essentially, or we're right in the middle of day 6, last day of creation. And it begins this way. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. No question there. We know His intentionality. We understand what He's doing there. Now He goes on, verse 28. Then God blessed them and said, this is part of our original commands, our charge, our mission as humans who live on this earth. Look what He says. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all of the animals that scurry along the ground. You know what He's saying there? We have the job of being the managers of this world. Now, at times, we're probably not doing a very good job of it. Not going to go down that path this morning. But we sometimes struggle in understanding our role in regards to upkeep of this world. He goes on, verse 29. Then God said, look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for food. And I've given every green plant as food for all of the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that is what happened. Now, what is He saying? There is equilibrium in God's creation. There is a plan of God's creation, or to God's creation, so that everything is fed the way that it needs to, that everything has the harmony that it needs to have in order to exist. That includes you and I. Now, all of this is pre-sin, or fall, as we like to call it. I mean, what we're describing here is essentially the Garden of Eden, as we know, but we're describing, in essence, sort of perfection on earth, aren't we? I mean, this is a glimpse, in my opinion, of what God's intentionality was for the world. But it also, I think, gives us a little bit of a glimpse. Be careful here, but it gives us somewhat of an idea of what heaven must be like. Is that it'll equally be in harmony, and we will all coexist together in love and at the feet of the cross, worshiping God for eternity, forever and ever. And then he goes on in verse 31, and this is our last verse this morning, but our focal verse, okay? Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was, what does he say? Very good. Now that's a reference to God's goodness now being found in his creation. And then it ends this way, and evening passed, and morning came, making the sixth day. And that, by the way, is the final day of creation. Then we move into really what we celebrated as the day of rest, which is where we, and not getting into the technicality of all this, but that's why we believe we worship on Sundays, because that is a day of rest. Well, here's what I want to do now. I want to go back in to verse 31 and really take that, as I said a moment ago, and tie that to the resurrection. So here's our heading this morning if you're taking notes. How we see God's goodness in the resurrection. This is sort of the meat of all of what we're doing this morning. This is sort of the connection point. This is what we're focusing on. So I would encourage you to take notes, write these down. They're very simple. They're things that you probably are aware of, but maybe just not in this reference. And again, our intention here is to understand God has never stopped being good. He has never stopped being who he is, regardless of what we do or don't do, or what has happened into this world. And there's implications of that in everything that we see, do, and feel in this world today. Number one is this. Number one way that we see God's goodness in the resurrection is, first, through our sin. Now, how do we see God's goodness in our sin? Well, first off, you step back, and he gave Adam and Eve, the original created humans, the option. They were not made to be perfect. They were made to have a choice. And they chose to sin. And without getting too complicated here, that sin now begins to create a fall in God's creation. And here we are today, Easter Sunday of 2024, struggling with sin in our nature because of the choice that they made. And so now, sort of the veil had been lifted, and now we all have that same choice on a daily basis. And because of our nature, we have the tendency to sin, then we often will struggle with that. Now, how do we see God's goodness in that sin? Because it never says in Scripture that he stops loving you. He may be disappointed with you. He may not be happy with you at that moment. But he never stops loving you. You can see his goodness in our sin through the resurrection, because by Jesus going to the cross and dying for your sin and then raising from the dead 3 days later shows that God is more powerful than your sin. He is more powerful than death, which is always the outcome of sin. God is bigger than any of those things. And so no matter what you decide to do, God is still sovereign and on his throne. No matter what may happen, God always has intention for you. I use another term often for this. God sees worth and value in you despite the fact that you have a tendency to sin. And maybe sometimes disappoint him. But the truth of the matter is that love never changes. God never changes. He has been the same from the beginning to where he is now to where he will be at the end of time. Our sin, listen to this, should not define who you are. See, I think we find in Scripture a great teaching here and a premise for us to live by is that, yes, we've all messed up. We are all sinners, every one of us sitting here. Every one of us have sinned. It's not hard to search down that list of sins that we've committed. We are all sinners. But God is bigger than that, and the sins that we have committed do not define us if you're a believer. God defines you. And because He created you to not just be good, but to be very good in His sight, then you can find forgiveness of that sin simply because of the resurrection, what Jesus did on the cross. I realize I'm simplifying it today. There's a lot of deep theological points that we can dive into, but I just don't think this is the venue for that this morning. This is more for us to celebrate how we find God's goodness in the resurrection. But we understand, even though we're seeing that, we see God's goodness. We see Him on the throne. He's bigger than our sin. Don't worry about all the deep theology that people want to use as counterpoints here and argue that it's not just that simple. But I'm telling you, Jesus is enough. You don't need anything else. The sin problem you have in your life is resolved by what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. And despite what the world wants to tell you, God's goodness is found in the forgiveness of our sins. Number two is this. Not only can we see our sin as part of God's goodness in the resurrection, but number two is this. We see our need. How do we see God's goodness in the resurrection? Number two, through our need. Listen, we need a Savior. That's part of the greatness of the goodness nature of God. I know that doesn't make sense, but God's goodness is found in that action that when Adam and Eve sinned, God knew then, He really knew even before that, to be honest, but He then put into action the ultimate display of God's active love and willingness to meet our need through what Jesus did on the cross. Does that make sense? We see God's goodness in our need. He created you, in other words, to need Him. And you can fill it with all kinds of alternatives. You can put all kinds of other things in that hole. I don't know how I would particularly describe it or how you might describe it, but it's almost, maybe for lack of a better way to say it, we all have a missing puzzle piece in our life. And God created you for Him to be that final puzzle piece. You can put all kinds of things in that slot, but none of it fits perfectly. Only God does. And that's the only way that we find completeness in our need being met. The world is full of alternatives. Sometimes easier, sometimes harder. But we all, as believers, understand that God is that final piece that completes us. He defines us. Our sin doesn't define us. He does. And we find purpose and meaning because He completes us. But here's what happens as believers. We start sort of wiggling that puzzle piece. And we decide to kind of move it to the side and we want to put something else there. Or, for a while, I was guilty of probably pulling that piece out, putting it to the side, and trying everything else that would fit in there that I'd be happier with. Trying to justify it. Some of you have done that. But then you come back to the point of understanding, no matter what other pieces you try to fit into that, God is the only one that meets our total, complete need because He created you. And that's part of His goodness. We see that. We celebrate that today because when Jesus is risen, it's complete. All of that now is verified. There's proof of it. That God is powerful. He's more powerful. And His goodness never stopped. He allowed Christ to go to the cross to die for your sin so that He could meet the need of forgiveness in your life. Number three is this. I didn't think this would take very long today. But not only is our sin found in this and our need, but this is the joyous one. This is the one that probably becomes more familiar with a typical Easter message, and that is this. We'll see God's goodness in the resurrection through our hope. That's the third and final one. Listen, I've already said this, but I'll say it again. Jesus is enough. Our hope, if we're going to say that that he forgives us of our sin and he's enough, and that he meets our need and that he's enough in that, then we also understand that our hope is found in him and only in him. There's nothing else. There's no other Savior coming. Your eternity is determined by how you see Jesus right now in this world. And as we celebrate his resurrection, and now today is about Jesus on Sunday rising, he is risen, and we know that he appears for some days, and then ultimately we find accounted for both in the end of Acts and the beginning of Matthew, as well as a few of the other Gospels, his miraculous ascension, it tells us. That he miraculously lifts up from the ground, I believe it happened just like it's described, and he ascends to the heavens, visibly. All of those, it says, on the mountain watching were able to see this. Just like that, it says, he will return. So our hope is not just found in the fact that Jesus is coming again, and we have certainty in that. We know that's going to happen. He's coming. But we also have hope in knowing that he is good, he is on his throne, he is sovereign, and all of the other attributes we can throw in there about God, to say that he has not forgotten about you, or he has not put you in some box to put you in a closet until Jesus comes back. He wants to work in your life right now. He wants to use you. He wants to take the gifts and the talents that he's blessed you with, the opportunities, the passions, whatever it is you have, he wants to take to use for his goodness right now. In blessing the world and being what he wanted you and designed you to be, the plan that he has for your life, so that you can find not just the completeness, but fulfillment in knowing that you're being used by God, finding purpose and meaning in those things. Listen, that's not unusual. You've heard that before. That's nothing strange. But what's strange is how we struggle in letting that follow us out of this church when we leave. I mean, we'll all sit here right now and say, yeah, man, I agree with that. But then you're going to go get in your car and you're going to go back to your normal life tomorrow. And then that's really where the test of whether or not you believe this stuff comes to bear. When you're driving to work, going into the office, dealing with screaming kids, trying to figure out how to take care of this that your boss has asked you to do, or this mountain of an issue that's in front of you, a decision that has to be made, a medical diagnosis that you don't understand and you're angry about. The test of whether or not you really believe in God's goodness is going to show up at those things. And so as believers, as we said, we can celebrate that God doesn't change. When you walk out of this place and go to your home and whatever you do on Easter afternoon and whatever happens this week, God still is the same. He's going to be the same then as he is right now. And he loves you. He not only will forgive your sin, he will meet your need, and he gives you the hope, the certainty that you are not just something that was accidentally brought into this world, but you have purpose and meaning. He had plotted you on his outline long before you ever showed up here. And he has a plan for you that carries you through your life that culminates in eternity in heaven with him. Father, thank you this morning. As we celebrate the resurrection, we see not just goodness, but we see all of the attributes that make up who you are in these. And so God, I pray this morning if we as a believer are struggling right now with bad choices and decisions and uncertainties that we may have in our life, maybe we're wiggling those puzzle pieces that you represent and trying to pull them away and find something else that's easier or more politically correct to fit into that hole. Lord, convict us of that. Help us, God, as we stand to be amazed by who you are and what you are, and remind us of your unfailing love, that you have forgiven us of our sins as believers and washed those away. And so we ought to live that way, trusting you with every single day. Now, Father, I pray for that lost person, as we mentioned in the beginning, Maybe their struggle is that they're just wrapped up into what's happening in the world, and really fear is what's keeping them from seeing the fullness of your goodness. I mean, it could be that. It could be other obstacles. They're afraid of what will happen to them. They're afraid of what a friend may say or what changes may come. Listen, none of that really matters. Because at some point in the future, and you're standing before God in judgment, none of those things will really matter. What will only matter is what you decided to do with Jesus. Now, I pray there may be some who are ready to pray what we call the sinner's prayer. And I want to lead in that. And this is not a prayer with exact words. It's just a prayer that I'm leading you in. And I would want you to pray this in your heart, meaning it in your own words. And that prayer is this: Father, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that I'm in desperate need this morning of your forgiveness. And I believe what Brother Keith has said, that you're enough, that it's complete. So God, I ask for forgiveness of my sin. And I want Jesus to come into my life, not just to be my Savior today. Yes, I want Him to be that. But I want to make Him the Lord of my life from this day forward. Now, if you've prayed that prayer and you're here, then in just a moment, we're going to have a time of commitment. And I'm going to invite you to come down and share that with me. We just want to get you with somebody that can help you understand more in detail what that is and the decision you've made. If you're at home watching this or listening to this on our podcast sometime this week, then I want you to reach out to our church, or I want you to call somebody that you know is a believer and share with them that you've made a decision this morning. Really, not a more perfect day than on Easter morning to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now, believers, I know there's a lot going on today, but maybe some need to just come and spend some time at the altar this morning, praying about something in your life, or maybe praying about something happening in someone else's life. Lord, we give this time of response to you. It's the most important thing we're ever going to do today, and that is spend time responding to the call that you've placed in some of our lives right now. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with me? Mm-hmm.